إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our first session with the topic which is entitled Sifat Ibadur Rahman, yani the characteristics or the qualities of the worshippers of Allah the Most Merciful. Yani Sifat Ibadur Rahman. The Sifat, yani the Sifa, is a quality or a characteristic or a description. And Ibadur Rahman, yani Ibad is the plural of Abd, and it has more than one meaning. And Ar Rahman is one of the most important of the beautiful names of Allah. So these are the characteristics of those people who are worshippers of Allah the Most Merciful. And this book is authored by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhum Allah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. And there are a number of points that we intend to cover this evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Most of it is going to be introduction to our topic. We're not going to actually read the characteristics that are mentioned in this essay, in this session. Rather, we're going to try to lay the groundwork that will help us to see the importance of these characteristics and what we need to do with them. Yani that we need to learn them and become acquainted with them and to seek to take on these characteristics in our lives and to act upon what they require of us. So tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we have several points that we're going to cover, maybe like 5 or 6 points of introduction to this topic. The first point is going to be the brief, very, very brief biography of the author. And the reason why we normally start a course with a brief biography of the author, even if the author is known, and that is because the one who may be known to you might not be known to the next person. And we always want to emphasize the importance of knowing who we are taking knowledge from. Knowing who we are taking knowledge from. Yani the knowledge of our deen. We shouldn't just take it from anyone and from anywhere. So we're going to start, the first point is going to be the biography. And then after that we're going to talk about the core topic, the abd. Who is the abd? We're going to talk about ubudiyya, the condition of the abd. And we're going to talk about al-ibadah, the act that the abd is characterized with. 3 things. After that, we're going to talk a little bit about the meaning of the name of Allah ar-Rahman. And then we're going to read the introduction to the book itself. Okay, so let's start with the brief biography of the author. His name, date, and place of birth, and his education. So his name is Shaykh Abdul Razak ibn Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr. May Allah protect and preserve him and his noble father. He was born on the 22nd of Dhul Qa'adah in the year 1382 of the Hijra calendar. Yani 22nd of Dhul Qa'adah. Dhul Qa'adah is the next to the last month of the Muslim calendar. Yani following it is the last month of the calendar, which is what? Last month of the Muslim calendar. Dhul Hijjah, the month of Hajj. And Hajj is the end of the year. Tayyib. He was born in the 22nd of Dhul Qa'adah in the year 1382 AH. And now we're in the year of the Hijri calendar. We're in the year of, anyone? 1441. So that would make him how old? If this is 1441, he was born in 1382. mathematics. So 1382 to 1400 is 18 years. Plus 41 years is 59. Now, so the Shaykh, when I met him, he was a very young man, and I always think of him as a young man, but mashallah, he's almost 60 years old. He's not a young man anymore. He was born in the place called Al-Zulfi, which is in the province of Riyadh in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. As far as his education, his undergraduate studies, yani bachelor's degree, as well as his postgraduate studies, master's and PhD degrees, were all at the Islamic University of Medina. And by the way, his father was, from the very day that the Islamic University of Medina opened, he was the first teacher to deliver a lesson, a class, in that university. And he taught there for about 50 years. And his father also taught in the Prophet's Masjid for that length of time, during which he covered the complete explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and the Sunan of Abu Dawud, the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, and the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Yani the six main books of Hadith, he has covered the explanation of all of those books from beginning to end. Yani the father, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, the Muhaddith. As far as his teachers, yani Shaykh Abdul Razak, well, yani from amongst the teachers that he benefited from are Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahullah, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, and his own father, Al-Allama Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafidhahullah, as well as the noble Shaykh Ali Nasir Faqihi, hafidhahullah. So these are some of the outstanding from amongst the teachers of Shaykh Abdul Razak, yani two of the great imams of our era, Al-Imam Ibn Baz and Ibn Uthaymeen, and his own father who's still living and still teaching in the Prophet Masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From amongst his writings, and the Shaykh Abdul Razak has written many books, I don't know yani what the number might be now, but from amongst the most important of them, are his explanations of the books of the scholars. His explanation of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, which is a very important book by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And also his explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, which is yani, a well-known standard book of Islamic Aqidah. Also his explanation of the book Al-Kalim Al-Tayyib, yani the good word, which is a book of supplications by Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, and his explanation of the book Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla, yani the exemplary principles related to the names of Allah and His characteristics by Al-Imam Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Also from amongst his books are books that he himself has written. From amongst the most important of them is Fiqh Al-Ad'iyyah Wal-Adhkar, Understanding of Supplications and Words of Remembrance, very, very important book of supplications, comprehensive with explanations of each of them. And also from amongst his most important books, which has not been translated, is Ta'zim al-Salat, The Great Importance of Prayer, which is a tremendous, life-changing book for anybody who reads it, seeking yani, to change their relationship with Allah. Also from amongst books of his that have been translated, very important book, The Manhaj of Ahl Sunnah in Uniting the Ummah. And of course, this is an important topic. What is the Manhaj of Ahl Sunnah in uniting the Muslims? Another book that is translated from his is The Value of Time, yani Ahammiyat al-Waqt fi Hayat al-Muslim. The value or the importance of time in the life of a Muslim. The importance of time in the life of a Muslim. Any time is extremely important to a Muslim who is conscious of the reality that our time in this world is limited and it is incumbent upon us to use that time wisely. Also from amongst his very important books is The Causes of Increase and Decrease of Iman, which is an expanded version in terms of the matters that he discussed and the evidences from what Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi has written concerning this topic. And another of his translated books is 50 Points of Benefit, extracted from the story of Luqman al-Hakim, yani the story of Luqman in the Quran, which is mentioned in 31st, 31st surah of the Quran. Finally, as far as his occupation, he is presently, right now, Sheikh Abdul Razak is a member of the teaching staff at the Islamic University of Medina, and he has also given numerous lectures at the Prophet's Masjid in Medina and other locations locally in Saudi Arabia and abroad. And by the way, when I first met the Sheikh, I don't know, it was probably in 1989 or 90, somewhere around that time, or 91, he was the dean of the College of Da'wah at the Islamic University of Medina. And he was a very young man at that time. At that time he was young. Now he's nearly 60. So you're not going to say he's young anymore. No. Okay, so this is a brief biography of the Shaykh. As you can see from his writings and his explanations of the books of the scholars and the topics that he has written about, you can see, Yani, that there is a great benefit to be obtained from him. Tonight, inshallah, this is our first session, and we're going to be reading from another very important work of his, that is the characteristics or the qualities of the worshippers of Ar-Rahman. Okay, so again, as I said, we're going to have a number of points. The first three points are going to be related to the title of the book, Yani Ibad al-Rahman, Sifat Ibad al-Rahman. So the Ibad al-Rahman, Yani, I'm translating as the worshippers of Ar-Rahman, the Merciful. The first point we're going to make is, why am I translating the Ibad, which is the plural of Abd, why am I translating as worshippers instead of slaves, which generally it has been translated as slaves. There are a number of Yani books written on this topic, and they have generally been translated as the slaves of Ar-Rahman, the slaves of the Merciful. So the reason why I prefer to use the word worshippers instead of slaves is because the word ibad, which is the plural of abd, it's the plural of abd, has two main meanings. And one of them could be properly translated as a slave or a servant. And the other one is definitely translated as a worshipper, one who is engaged in worship. So the meaning in these ayats that we're going to talk about from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah of the Quran, the meaning of Ibad al-Rahman in these ayats is the second meaning, the meaning of worshipper, not the meaning of slave or servant. So why am I saying that? Okay, so I'm going to read just briefly, this is going to be our first point, the meaning of Al-Abd. What is the meaning of Abd? Two meanings of Al-Abd. Two perspectives of the meaning of Abd and why we are choosing Yani to translate Abd or Ibad as worshipper or worshippers instead of slave. Sheikh Hafiz ibn Ahmed al-Hakami rahimahullah, who died in the year 1377 of the Hijrah, he wrote in his book A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, Li'atiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Naji al-Mansura, question number one, it wasn't the first question, maybe it was the third or fourth question, Ma ma'ana al-abd? What is the meaning of al-abd? Ayn ba dal. What is the meaning of abd? Yani generally people say, yani if you ask anybody generally speaking, what is the meaning of abd? They'll say slave. And abd is a slave. However, that's one of the meanings of abd. But the meaning intended in this sequence of ayats in Surah Al-Furqan is not that meaning. Rather, it's the meaning of another meaning of abd, which is the abid, a worshipper, one engaged in ibadah, worship. One engaged in ibadah. So, al-abd, he says, in uridu bihi al-mu'abbad, ay al-mudhallal, al-musakhar. If what is intended by abd is al-mu'abbad, yes, you, sign. Yes, you. If what is intended by Abd is Al-Mu'abbad, he's going to explain, Yani, this is the first possible meaning of Al-Abd. And then he goes on to say, In Uridu Bihi Al-Abid, and this is the second possible meaning. So there are two possible meanings of Al-Abd. One is Al-Mu'abbad, and the second one is Al-Abid. And the second one is the one that we are concerned with tonight. If what is intended by al-abd is al-mu'abbad, yani in terms of its definition, ay al-mudhallalu, al-musakharu. Al-mudhallalu means the one that has been humbled, that has been subdued, that has been subjugated by force to submit and to surrender. المذلل, the one that has been humbled. المسخر means the one that has been subjugated, that has been forced to submit and to surrender. So if this is what is intended by abd, al-mu'abbad, then بهذا المعنى فهو بهذا المعنى شامل لجميع المخلوقات. Then according to this meaning of abd, al-mu'abbad, then it is inclusive of everything in the creation. It is inclusive of everything in the creation, human and otherwise. Yani this meaning, barakallahu feekum. This meaning of yani al-abd al-mu'abbad includes everything in the creation, jami' al-makhluqat. He says from al-awalim al-ulwiyya والسفلية, يعني everything in the creation, from the upper heavenly worlds as well as the lower earthly, يعني meaning everything that's in the heavens and everything that's in the earth, من عاقل وغيره, from that which is rational like the human beings or other than human beings, animals or inanimate things. يعني this expression المعبد is inclusive of everything in the creation. رطبٌ ويابسٌ, that which is moist and that which is dry. متحرك وساكن, that which has movement and that which is motionless or still. والظاهر وكامن, that which is visible as well as that which is not seen. مؤمن وكافر, the believer and the disbeliever. بر وفاجر, the righteous and the unrighteous. وغير ذلك. يعني, the Shaykh is saying here that there are two possible meanings of al-abd. The first one is al-mu'abbad. It means the one that has been humbled, that has been subdued, that has been subjugated, has been overcome. This includes everything in the creation, because everything is subjugated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is, yani, subjugated, subservient, and humbled, willfully or unwillfully. Everything in the creation is humbled before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first possible meaning of al-abd, and this meaning might be his wife maybe trying to get in. He has his wife with him. My wife is upstairs, so she can just go up with her. I think so. So yani this is the first possible meaning, and this meaning, it would be correct to say that the abd means a slave or a servant, because it means everything that is subservient and subjected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, humbled and subdued to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the Shaykh, he says here, يعني furthering this meaning, الكل مخلوق لله عز وجل مربوب له مسخر بتسخيره مدبر بتدبيره. يعني that everything is a creation of Allah. Everything is مخلوق. Everything that exists other than Allah is مخلوق. And everything that exists is مربوب, يعني is cared for, nourished, and attended to by the رب العالمين, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in creation is subjected to his rububiyyah. Everything in creation is musakhar, subdued to him by his doing. And everything in the creation is mudabbar, yani governed or managed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything from amongst the created beings has a position or a station or a status or a boundary that it doesn't go beyond, doesn't go outside of, that has been decreed by Allah. Everything has an appointed time, ajlun musamma. Everything has an appointed time that it can't go beyond, not even the amount of mithqala dharra, not even an atom's yani weight amount, not even yani the smallest amount. Everything is yani limited by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he quotes the ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-An'am 696, ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ العزيز العليم. يعني all of this is by the تقدير. يعني the fixed, decided ruling of Allah العزيز العليم. The one who is mighty, who does whatever he wills, and he is العليم, who knows everything. والتدبير العدل الحكيم. The Shaykh adds to this, يعني everything is subject to being managed or maintained or organized or arranged by Al-Adl, the one who is just, Al-Hakim, the one who is wise, yani who puts everything in its proper place. So this is the first possible meaning of Al-Abd, Al-Mu'abbad. Al-Mu'abbad, the one that is Mudhallal, humbled, Al-Musakhar, subdued to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this includes everything in the creation. This meaning, it is perfectly correct to say that Al-Abd means a slave or a servant, one who is subject, yani to authority. The second possible meaning, in uridu bihi al-abid, but if what is intended by abd is the abid, al-muhib, al-mutadhallil, yani the one who loves the one that he is worshipping, the one who has surrendered and humbled himself willingly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If this is what is intended, al-abid, khassa dhalika bil-mu'minina, then this is exclusive for the believers, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عِبَادُهُ الْمُكْرَمُونَ وَأَوْلِيَاهُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Then this is exclusively for the believers. This particular meaning of al-abd, al-abid, is exclusively for the believers. Yani the worshippers, the honored worshippers, yani the pious believers who have taqwa. Those who have no fear, nor do they grieve. Yani, as mentioned in the ayat in Surah to Yunus 10:62 and 63, Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun alladhina amanu kanu yattaqun. Is it not so that the awliya of Allah, they have no fear upon them and they do not grieve? They do not fear what is ahead of them because they have worshipped Allah, and they do not fear what is left behind because they have fulfilled their duty to Allah. And who are they? Alladhina amanu, those who believe, wa kanu yattaqun, and who have taqwa. The people who have iman and the people who have taqwa. So this is the second meaning, possible meaning of the word abd. This second meaning, al-abid, al-muhib, al-mutadhallil, yani means the one who is a worship of Allah, who loves the one that he is worshipping, and who has willingly surrendered and submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the abid. And this is actually the meaning, as we will see as we go on. This is what is intended in these ayahs in Surah Al-Furqan. The abid, al-muhib, al-mutadhallil, not the yani mu'abbad, the mudhallal, al-musakhar, yani the one who is humbled and subdued and overcome. Rather, what is intended is the one who consciously, willingly, yani strives to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of love for him, and humbling themselves willingly, surrendering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first meaning includes everything in the creation, and the second meaning, al-abid, only includes the believers who have iman and taqwa. So this is the first point that we wanted to make tonight, that is that the meaning of the word abd, its plural being ibad, that's mentioned in this ayat, ibad al-Rahman. The meaning of abd, there are two possible meanings. Al-mu'abbad, yani which includes everything in the creation, that is subdued willingly or unwillingly. And the second meaning is al-abid, the one who willingly surrenders and submits, yani and occupies himself with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the meaning that we are thinking of in this topic. Okay, this is the first point, the two meanings of al-abd. Al-mu'abbad and al-abid. And the second one is the one we intended, the worshipper. The second point is related to the different types of ubudiyya. What is al-ubudiyya? Al-ubudiyya is the state or the condition of the abid, of the worshipper of Allah. But there are two types of ubudiyya. There's ubudiyya of the first type, the abd, that means everything in the creation that is in subjugation, that is subdued to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, willingly or unwillingly. That's one type of ubudiyya. And the second type of ubudiyya is related to the abid, the one that these ayats are talking about, and that is the one who willingly, yani, has, yani, consciously made an effort to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their condition of ubudiyya is the condition of يعني, occupying oneself with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to the ubudiyah, which just means يعني, subjugation or submission, يعني, being subdued willingly or unwillingly. So concerning these meanings, يعني, we're going to read just a little bit from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi concerning the ayats under discussion. The first of them is ayah 63 from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah of the Qur'an, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins a series of ayats. From ayah 63 to the end of the surah, Allah begins it by saying, وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا, to the end of the ayah. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ, the worshippers of Ar-Rahman, are those who walk upon the earth, حَوْنًا. يعني حَوْنًا meaning humbly, calmly, peacefully. The Ibad al-Rahman, this is their first description. We're going to talk about it next week, inshallah, in detail. But the Shaykh says under this first ayah, he says, يعني Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi, al-Ubudiyyah, يعني the state of the Ibad al-Rahman, their state of being constantly in the worship of Allah. This Ubudiyyah for Allah is naw'an, is of two types. There's two types of Ubudiyyah. Okay, so the first type of ubudiyah is related to the abd, that's subdued to Allah, and that's everything in the creation. And the second type of ubudiyah is related to the abid, the one who is willingly, yani, surrendering to Allah to worship Him. The Shaykh says, al-ubudiyah lillahi naw'an. The ubudiyah for Allah is of two types. Ubudiyatun lirububiyatihi. Ubudiyah, the ubudiyah, that is servitude in relation to Allah's rububiyyah, yani in relation to the fact that Allah is the Rabbul Alameen, that He's the Lord of all the worlds. So in a sense, everything is in a state of ubudiyyah, servitude to the Rabbul Alameen, because by force, willingly or unwillingly, everybody has to, everything in the creation has to submit to being in servitude and subjugation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabbul Alameen. So this is the first type of ubudiyyah, لِرُبُوبِيَّتِهِ, the ubudiyah that's related to the fact that Allah is the رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. فَهَذَا يَشْتَرِكْ فِيهَا سَعْرَ الْخَلْقِ. This type of ubudiyah is the type of ubudiyah that everything in the creation shares in. Everything is, yani, observing this type of ubudiyah. مُسْلِمُهُمْ وَكَافِرُهُمْ. The Muslim from the created beings as well as the kafir. بَرُّهُمْ وَفَاجِرُهُمْ. The righteous as well as the wicked. كُلُّهُمْ عَبِيدٌ لِلَّهِ مَرْبُوبٌ مُدَبَّرُونَ. مَرْبُوبٌ مُدَبَّرُونَ. يعني everything in the creation, the Muslim and the kafir, the righteous and the wicked, rather everything in existence is an abid, is from the abid, the slaves, the subjects of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subject to His rububiyyah, yani subject to His being the one who cares for them, and yani the mudabbir, the one who controls all affairs. Everything in the creation is subject to this, and in this sense, there's a type of ubudiyyah that's related to Allah's lordship, His rububiyyah, His being the Rabbul Alameen. And this is indicated in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in kullu man fis samawati wal ard illa ati ar-rahmani abda. Yani that everything in the heavens and the earth, there's nothing in the heavens and the earth except that it will come to Allah as an abd. As an abd. Everything in the creation. This is not the abd, that's the abid who's consciously worshipping Allah. Rather, this is the abd or the ubudiyyah of everything in the creation that it has to surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is mentioned in Surah Maryam 1993. So the Shaykh, he says, this is the first type of ubudiyyah, yani the state of servitude or slavery or being subjugated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everything in creation shares in this ubudiyyah. Ubudiyyah li rububiyyatihi, to His rububiyyah, His lordship. The second type of ubudiyyah is ubudiyyatun li uluhiyyati, yani the ubudiyyah, the state of ubudiyyah that is related to His uluhiyyah. Yani when we study the types of tawheed, we know that there's tawheed al-rububiyyah, and there's tawheed al-uluhiyyah, and there's tawheed al-asma wa sifat. So the tawheed of rububiyyah is in reference to Allah being the Rabbul Alameen, the one who created, who controls, who provides for, who gives life and death. That's rububiyyah. The tawheed of uluhiyyah is related to Allah being the ilah. Uluhiyyah, ilahiyyah means that He is the ilah, the divine one that deserves to be worshipped alone. So here the second type of ubudiyyah is ubudiyyatun liuluhiyyatihi. Yani a state of servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in recognition that He's the only one that deserves to be worshipped. يعني أولوهيته وعبادته ورحمته وهي عبودية أنبيائه وأوليائه وهي المراد هنا. So this type of ubudiyyah is the ubudiyyah of the prophets of Allah and the awliya of Allah, the people of iman and taqwa. And this is what is intended here in this ayah, the second type of ubudiyyah. Okay, the types of ubudiyyah what? The ubudiyyah in reference to Allah's rububiyyah, His lordship. And it's the servitude that recognizes, acknowledges willingly or unwillingly that Allah is the Rabbul Alameen. The second type of ubudiyyah is the ubudiyyah of the person who recognizes that Allah is the only ilah. La ilaha illallah. He's the only ilah. He's the one that deserves worship. And that's why we say, the scholars of Sunnah say that the meaning of La ilaha illallah is La ma'bud bihaqin illallah. Yani the ilah is the ma'bud, the one that has a right to be worshipped. So this second type of ubudiyyah is yani the ubudiyyah that this ayat, the shaykh says, hiya al-murad huna. That is what is intended in this ayat. Not the ubudiyyah of everything in the creation, that everything acknowledges, willingly or unwillingly, that Allah controls the universe. That's not the ubudiyyah that we're talking about in these ayat that we're going to be discussing for the next few weeks. Rather, the ubudiyyah that we're talking about is the ubudiyyah, the state, the condition of servitude to Allah that recognizes that He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. So really, yani we don't say that this is slavery. Rather, we say that this is a conscious condition or state of seeking to make your life totally be yani dedicated to the worship of Allah. Ubudiyyah, that is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaykh says, ولهذا أضافها إلى اسمه الرحمن. This is the reason why Allah has connected in this ayat وعباد الرحمن, the worshippers of الرحمن. The reason why He has connected the word worship is to His name الرحمن إشارة إلى أنهم إنما وصلوا إلى هذه الحال بسبب رحمته. He has connected these people to His name الرحمن as an indication that they have only reached this condition of consciously seeking to worship Allah due to His rahmah. It's due to the rahmah of Allah that we are worshipping Him. That's His mercy upon us. Because the people who are not worshipping Allah, they are in store for a terrible punishment. But by the mercy of Allah, we have accepted yani His right to be worshipped. That's Allah's rahmah upon us. So Allah has connected our condition of ubudiyyah to His name Ar-Rahman because it's by His rahmah that we reach this condition. Naam. And then the shaykh goes on to say that he has mentioned yani their characteristics being the most perfect and their qualities being the best, and then he begins to yani mention the ayat, the series of ayat which mention yani according to the way the shaykh has outlined them, and he eight characteristics or qualities or sifat of Ibad al-Rahman. This is the second point, the two types of ubudiyyah. Ubudiyyah related to the rububiyyah of Allah, His lordship, and ubudiyyah related to the uluhiyyah, yani the right of Allah to be worshipped. And the second one is the one that we are concerned with, just as the second of the two meanings of abd. The abid is the one that we are concerned with. Yani the abid, the worship of Allah, and the ubudiyyah that recognizes Allah's right to be worshipped. The third point that we want to make tonight, the third point we want to make tonight is related to al-ibadah. Al-ibadah. Yani the abid is the worshipper. His ubudiyyah that we're talking about is the state of worshipping Allah where a person willingly, consciously, voluntarily surrenders to worship Allah alone. And now we want to talk about the actual act of the Ibadur Rahman, the act of worshipping Allah. That is Al-Ibadah. So the Ibadah also, yani, can be understood in two different ways. Here I'm going to read from a fatwa of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in which he was asked about the meaning of Al-Ibadah, the two meanings of Ibadah, Al-Aam and Al-Khas, the general meaning of Ibadah, and the special, more specific meaning of Ibadah. He gives two answers to this. The first of them, he was asked, is there an understanding of Ibadah that's possible for us to define it with, or to know it by? يعني هل لها مفهوم عام ومفهوم خاص? Does the word Ibadah, worship, have an understanding that's a general understanding, عام, and a خاص, specific, special understanding? يعني two different understandings of Ibadah, a general one and a specific one. The Shaykh says, نعم, yes, مفهومها العام, the general understanding of Ibadah is, as I have pointed to earlier, بأنها التذلل لله عز وجل محبة وتعظيما. يعني the general meaning of Ibadah is what I pointed to earlier. It is humbling oneself to Allah out of love for Him, محبة, and تعظيم, glorification or exaltation of Him. Humbling oneself to Allah out of what? Out of love of Allah. And out of exaltation or glorification of Allah. He said, how do you do that? بِفِعْلِ أَوَامِرِهِ وَاجْتِنَابِ نَوَاهِهِ. And that is by doing all, fulfilling all of His commands and avoiding all of His prohibitions. Humbling oneself to Allah out of love for Him and exaltation of Him by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. عَلَى وَجْءَ الَّذِي جَعَدْ بِهِ شَرَائِهُ. And that is doing it in the manner that has been dictated to us, that has come to us in the sharia, in the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هَذَا الْمَفْهُومَ الْعَامِ. This is the general meaning of Ibadah. So, does Ibadah have a general meaning and a special meaning? Yes. The Shaykh says, yes, it has a general meaning and a special meaning. The general meaning is humbling oneself to Allah out of love for Him and exaltation of Him by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions, doing that in a way that Allah has legislated in His laws. This is the general meaning of worship. وَالْمَفْهُومَ الْخَاصِ, and the special or specific meaning, understanding of Ibadah, أَعْنِي تَفْصِيلَهَا, يعني the detailed understanding of Ibadah, is as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, هِيَ إِسْمٌ جَامِعٌ لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ مِنَ الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الْبَاطِنَ وَالظَّاهِرَةِ. يعني the more specific meaning of Ibadah, of worship, is that Al-Ibadah is a ism jamiun, a comprehensive name, a comprehensive word that includes everything that Allah loves and everything that Allah is pleased with. From speech, aqwal, and actions, a'mal, al-batina, that which is done inwardly, and al-zahira, that which is done outwardly. Okay, this is the more specific, detailed understanding of al-ibadah. Al-ibadah is a word that is comprehensive. It includes everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, whether speech or action, inwardly or outwardly. As far as speech, we mean by speech, yani dhikrullah, dua, qira'atul Qur'an, yani the remembrance of Allah, supplicating, reciting the Qur'an. This is speech. This is worship in speech. Af'al, like for example, standing in prayer, al-qiyam, wal-ruku, wal-sujood. These are actions that are worship. As far as that which is batina, inwardly, like al-ikhlas, sincerity, that's in the heart. Mahabba, khawf, khashya, love, hope, fear, raja. All of these are acts of worship that are done inwardly because they are in the heart. Outwardly, like al-tawaf, wa-sa'i, wal-wukuf bi-arafat. Yani that which is seen, like going to making tawaf, circumambulating the Kaaba. Or walking quickly between Safa and Marwa, or standing in Arafat. These are acts of worship that are seen. So here, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has defined worship as a comprehensive word that includes everything that Allah loves, whether it's speech, whether it's action, whether it's seen, or whether it's yani not seen, it's done inwardly. All of this is worship. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen says, like al-khawf, wal-khashya, wal-tawakkul, wal-salat, wal-zakat, wal-siyam, wa-ghayra dhalik min shira'i al-Islam. Yani whether it's fear or awe of Allah, dependence upon Allah, the prayers, charity, fasting, or other than that, from what Allah has legislated in Islam. So this is the first way that the Shaykh explained ibadah having a general meaning and a specific meaning. The general meaning, yani meaning, humbling oneself to Allah out of love and exaltation of Him by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions in a way that He has legislated. The specific meaning is everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, whether speech or action, whether done inwardly or outwardly. So this is how the Shaykh explained al-ibadah in its general sense and its more specific sense. Now the Shaykh gives another explanation of the same yani issue. He said, but perhaps maybe that's not what you intended by your question. Maybe that's not what you meant. So now he's going to explain it another way, and the second way he explains it is in line with what we're talking about in this subject. It's in line with what we're talking about in this subject. He says, ثُمَّ إِن كُنْتَ تَقْصُدْ بِمَعْنَى الْمَفْهُومُ الْخَاصُ وَالْعَامُ. If what you intended in your question is there a general and a specific meaning for worship, understanding for worship, is there a general and a specific understanding of what worship means, if you mean by that what has been mentioned by some of the scholars, that al-ibadah إِمَّا عِبَادَةً قَوْنِيَةً أَوْ عِبَادَةً شَرْعِيَةً. Yani some of the scholars said that worship is either ibadah qawniyah or ibadah shara'iyah. Yani ibadah qawniyah is in reference to the ibadah that is yani subject to the irada qawniyah, Allah's universal will. And the ibadah shara'iyah is the ibadah that's subject to al-irada al-shara'iyah, Allah's legislative will. So when we study aqidah, we know that Allah has a will, but He has yani al-irada al-qawniyah, the universal will, and al-irada al-shara'iyah, the legislative will. And just briefly, because this is not our topic tonight, but just briefly, what is the difference between the universal will and the legislative will? I'll just make like two quick points. Yani the universal will is the will of Allah that includes what He loves and is pleased with and what He does not love and is not pleased with. It includes both of them. And it includes things that Allah loves and that Allah doesn't love. But it must come to being. When Allah wills it in His universal will, it has to happen. There's no escape from it. As far as His legislative will, it only includes what Allah loves and is pleased with. It's what He has legislated. It only includes what Allah loves and He's pleased with, except that it may or may not happen. It may or may not happen. Like Allah loves that people pray, but not everybody prays, right? Allah loves that people believe in Him, but not everybody believes. So that comes under His legislative will. He has legislated that people worship Him, but not everybody does it. It's only what He loves, but it may or may not happen. The universal will, Allah decrees it, it has to happen. There's no escape from it. It may be what Allah loves and what He doesn't love. He doesn't love kufr. He doesn't love shaitan. But Allah has legislated, He has willed in His universal will that this will happen, that people will disbelieve. Okay, so this is a quick discussion of al-irada, al-qawniyah, universal will, and irada, shara'iyah, legislative will. So this discussion now is related to these two matters. The ibadah qawniyah is the worship that comes under Allah's universal will. That there's a certain type of ibadah that everybody has to do. The ibadah shara'iyah is the ibadah that Allah has legislated, that people may or may not do. But it's what Allah loves and is pleased with. Okay? So the Shaykh says, if that's what you mean by there being a general and a specific understanding of ibadah, if you mean that in reference to ibadah qawniyah and ibadah shara'iyah, he said, meaning that the human being may humble himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a humbling that is qawniyah, that is he's compelled to do, he has no escape from it. Or he may humble himself, a humbling that is shara'iyah, what Allah has legislated, and Allah loves and is pleased with, and that person may comply or he may not comply. Because you have some limited free will to either comply with what Allah loves or not. He said, if that's what you mean, then he said, yes, there is also a general mafhum, understanding, and a specific understanding of ibadah in this context. So here he gives these two, yani the general and the specific understanding of ibadah with this, with, يعني, as it relates to this. فَالْعِبَادَ الْقَوْنِيَةِ عَامَةٌ. The ibadah qawniya is عام, is general. يعني includes everyone. تَشْمِلْ الْمُؤْمِنْ وَالْكَافِرِ. Includes the believer and the disbeliever. الْبَرُ وَالْفَاجِرِ. The righteous and the unrighteous. The ibadah qawniya is general. It includes everyone. And this is, and he uses the ayah that we mentioned previously, the saying of Allah, إِنْ كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا أَتِي الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا. That everything in the heavens and earth must come to Allah as an abd. Yani this type of ibadah is, he's referring to as ibadah kawniya, that everybody has to perform this type of ibadah, means everybody has to comply with certain things that Allah wills in His universal will, there's no escape from it. Everybody has to die. Nobody will stay on the earth forever. Everybody has to, yani, do certain things that Allah has decreed must be. This is in Surah to Maryam 1993. So everything in the heavens and the earth, it is in submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with His universal will. It is not possible ever for anyone to oppose Allah's universal will, for anyone to contest that which Allah wills in His irada kawniya, the Shaykh says. Nobody can contest it. Nobody can oppose it. Rather, everyone must worship Allah, yani meaning must do certain things that Allah has decreed to be in His universal will. The second is the khas, yani the special or particular understanding of ibadah. He said, "Amma al-ibadah al-khasa hiya al-ibadah al-shar'iyya." Yani the special type of ibadah that comes under this yani context is al-ibadah al-shar'iyya, the legislated worship. وَهِيَ التَّظَلُّ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى الشَّرْعًا. And that is humbling oneself to Allah in accordance with His law, in accordance with His sharia, in compliance with His irada shar'iyya, what Allah has legislated to be. فَهَذِي الْخَاسَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is particular and exclusive to the believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الْقَائِمِينَ بِأَمْرِهِ, those who are fulfilling His command. So here the Shaykh again, he gives yani a general, عام, and a khas, specific or special understanding of al-ibadah. Al-ibadah al-qawniyah, yani includes everything in the creation, must comply with certain things that Allah willed in His universal will, and al-ibadah, yani al-shar'iyyah, the special, yani understanding, the understanding, special understanding of ibadah is, yani that a person humbles themselves willingly in compliance with what Allah has legislated in His laws and what He has, yani required of the people, commanded the people with, in His, yani al-irada al-shar'iyyah. This is particular to the believers. The first one is general for everyone. after this, the Shaykh actually makes another point. I'll just like quickly go through it because yani it's an extra point not related to our topic. But he said, and there's also another type of ibadah, khas akhas. Yani a type of special ibadah that is not just exclusive to the believers, but they're amongst the believers, a special group of people. And he said, this khas akhas is the ibadah of the messengers, alayhi salam. As Allah mentioned in a number of ayats, Surah Al-Furqan, first ayat, Surah Al-Baqarah, 23rd ayat, Surah Al-Sad, 45th ayat, where Allah mentions in these ayats, basic, pretty much the same thing, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. That Allah subhanahu, yani blessed is the one who has sent down, revealed the Furqan, the criterion, upon His abd. This abd, yani, is the one who is not just from amongst the believers, but the messengers. So this is a khas, ibadah khas, special, but it's more exclusive, yani it's exclusive to the prophets and messengers. And again, he mentioned from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 23rd ayat, similar to that, and Surah Al-Sa'd, 45th ayat, similar to that. He said this is a description of the messengers, describing them with ubudiyya. Yani ubud ibadah khasa, yani akhasu, yani exclusive to the messengers and prophets. The next point that we want to make, as we running out of time here, the next point that we want to make is related to, and it's a very important point, so we might not get to the introduction of the book, yani itself, the reading from the book tonight, but maybe we'll like stop with this point. And this point is from our title, Sifat Ibad al-Rahman, the qualities or characteristics of the worshippers of Ar-Rahman. Yani the name Ar-Rahman. The worshippers of Ar-Rahman. So, as Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentions briefly concerning this in these ayahs from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, yani about these names, I'm sorry, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, he said these are two names that indicate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Dhu Ar-Rahma Al-Wasi'a Al-Azima. That Allah is the one who possesses a magnificent, vast mercy. A mercy that is magnificent, tremendous, great. And it is wasiya, vast. Yani, both Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, both of these names indicate Allah's characteristic of Ar-Rahma. And that it is vast and that it is magnificent. He says, this Rahma, التي وسعت كل شيء وعمت كل حي. Yani, it is that which reaches everything in the creation and it encompasses every living being. Okay, so this is the Rahma that's Amma, that touches everything in the creation and every living being. He said, وَكَتَبَهَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الْمُتَّبِعِينَ لِأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالرُّسُلِ. And he has decreed this Rahma for the people of Taqwa, the people who follow strictly the prophets and the messengers. فَهَؤُلَاءِ لَهُمَ الرَّحْمَةُ الْمُطْلَقَةُ وَمَنْ عَدَاهُمْ لَهُمْ نَصِيبٌ مِنْهَا. So, these, the people of taqwa, the people who strictly follow the prophets and messengers, he said, لَهُمَ الرَّحْمَةُ الْمُطْلَقَةُ. They have the absolute, يعني, unrestricted rahma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas the rest of the people besides the believers, who have taqwa and who strictly follow the prophets and messengers, they have some portion of this rahma. So the rahma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a group of people who are receiving it in full, and there are other people who have some portion of it. And then the shaykh says, and know that from the qawaid that are agreed upon by the salaf of this ummah and the imams of this ummah, yani this is a principle of asma wa sifat, and it's not directly related to our topic, but it is indirectly related to it. He said, no, from the principles that are agreed upon is that the people of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah have iman bi asma'i ilahi wa sifatihi wa ahkam as-sifat. Yani that we have to have iman in the names of Allah, that they are His names, and the sifat of Allah, that each of those names contain a characteristic or quality of Allah, and the ahkam of the sifat. Yani the rulings that are directly related to those characteristics as they relate to the creation, how they affect the creation. This is from the minhaj, from the qawaid that are agreed upon of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So how is this applied? He said that we believe then, for example, that in reference to the name Ar-Rahman Rahim, that Allah, that this is His name, and that He is Dhu Rahma, He possesses the characteristic of being merciful, and yani that it is mutaalliqa bil marhum, that this mercy is connected to the people or the things in the creation that receive His mercy. So we believe in it as a name, and we believe in it as a quality of His, and we believe that it affects the things in the creation, the people and otherwise. And therefore he said, "An-ni'am kulluha atharun min athar rahmatihi." So every blessing, every bounty, every favor, all of it is just the effects from the rahmah of Allah. It's all from the effects of the rahmah of Allah. Here, and this is why we're not going to go to the last point, yani the reading from the book itself. We're going to just continue a little bit with the name Ar-Rahman. Here, from the book of Shaykh Abdul Razak, in another of his books, Fiqh Al-Asma Al-Husna, the Fiqh of the Beautiful Names of Allah, in reference to the name Ar-Rahman, he has joined it together, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. These two names together, as they came in the beginning of the Quran, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, and in many other places in the Quran. He talks about these two names, and Ar-Rahman specifically, in a long discussion that is 4 pages long. So we don't have time to read 4 pages, right? So we're going to read 4 paragraphs, inshallah. And we're going to close with this, inshallah. The first thing that he says, and I'm going to skip a lot, obviously, because it's 4 pages. He says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. This is from Fiqh Al-Asma Al-Husna. And the reason why I want to read this is because as we go through these characteristics in the coming weeks, the qualities and the characteristics and the descriptions of the worshippers of Ar-Rahman, we need to know who is Ar-Rahman. We know that Allah is Ar-Rahman. But what does this name really mean? And what is its significance and its importance? Like, how many of us recite Al-Fatiha and we say, Bismillahir Rahman Rahim, and we might not really know in any kind of detail. What is the meaning of Ar-Rahman? What is the meaning of Ar-Rahim? I want to concentrate on Ar-Rahman, but the Shaykh brings them together. He said, these are two names, two noble names that have been mentioned many places in the Noble Quran. And then he begins to recite some ayats where they are mentioned. For the sake of time, we'll skip those ayats. We know we have seen them everywhere, right? Then he says, وَلِهَذَنِي الْإِسْمَيْنِ شَأْنٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَكَانَةٌ عَظِيمٌ. That these two names, they have a great importance and a magnificent station, status for the believers. فَهُمَا الْإِسْمَانَ الَّذَانِ افْتَتَحَ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا أُمُ الْقُرْآنِ. These are the two names that Allah opened the Quran with. And then he began to mention other virtues related to these two names. Now I'm going to get to the points that I want to read from these four pages, a couple of paragraphs. The first paragraph that I want to concentrate on is related to the fact that we just alluded to as we were reading previously, that all good, every khair, is the result of the rahmah of Allah. Why is this name Ar-Rahman so important? Because the rahmah, that is the characteristic of Allah that is derived from this name Rahman, is actually the source of every good that we have in our life. It's because of the rahmah of Allah. The Shaykh, he says, Wal-Rahman, the word, the name Ar-Rahman, it came on the pattern in Arabic language of fa'alan. Ad-dala ala sifa al-thabita al-lazima al-kamila. Ay, min sifatihi Ar-Rahman. This name in the Arabic language came on the pattern or the wazn of fa'alan, which indicates that it is a characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is thabita, confirmed for him. Lazima, inseparable from him. Kamila, complete and perfect. That is, it's from his characteristics. Ar-Rahma is from the confirmed, inseparable, complete and perfect characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, Ar-Rahim indicates the Rahma that extends from Allah to the one who the mercy falls upon. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does the act of showing mercy upon his creation. That's what Ar-Rahim indicates. And then he says these two names are dalatun ala kamal ar-rahma allati hiya sifatillah wa sa'atiha. These two names point to, indicate the perfection of the rahma, which is a characteristic of Allah, and they also point to the vastness of that rahma. These two names point to the perfection of the rahma of Allah, and they also point to the vastness, the abundance of the rahmah of Allah. Then the Shaykh says, and this is like, may Allah cause our hearts to accept what is being said here and to realize the importance of this name. فَجَمِيعُ مَا فِي الْعَالَمِ الْعُلْوِ وَالصُّفْلِ مِنْ حُصُولِ الْمَنَافِعِ وَالْمَحَابِ وَالْمَسَارِ وَالْخَيْرَاتِ مِنْ أَثَى رَحْمَتِهِ. That everything that comes to us of beneficial things, of things that we love, of things that bring joy and happiness, of goodness, everything that comes to us from these things, they are all from the result of the rahmah of Allah. كَمَا أَنَّ مَا صُرِفَ عَنْهُمْ مِنَ الْمَكَارِ وَالنِّقَمِ وَالْمَخَاوِفِ وَالْأَخْطَارِ وَالْمَضَارِ مِنْ آثَارِ رَحْمَتِي. And likewise, everything that has been turned away from us, of that which we dislike, of misfortune, of fears, of dangers, of harms, everything that has been turned away from us is due to the rahmah of Allah. Whatever good came to us is the result of the rahmah of Allah. And whatever harm has been repulsed from us is the result of the rahmah of Allah. فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَأْتِ بِالْحَسَنَاتِ إِلَّا هُوَ. No one brings good except him, Allah, Ar-Rahman. وَلَا يَدْفَعَ السَّيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا هُوَ. And no one repulses evil or harm except him, Ar-Rahman. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّحَمِينَ. And he is the most merciful of those who show mercy. This is the first point related to the name Ar-Rahman. Second point, and there are only three, and then we're going to stop, inshallah. Second point, and I'm turning to another page now, right? Skipping. The Shaykh says, وَالْعَبْدَ كُلُّ مَا عَظُمَتْ طَاعَتُهُ. This particular point is very, very important point. I remember I read this some years ago, and I was amazed, and I didn't realize that this was a truth in Islam. that a person should not expect, anticipate, or yani feel that they are deserving of the rahmah of Allah unless they have done something to deserve it. Yani the rahmah of Allah is received because you do something to get it. It doesn't just come to you. The Shaykh, he said here, al-abd kullu ma 'azumat ta'atuhu wa zada qurbuhu wa taqarrubuhu li rabbih 'azuma nasibuhu min istihqaq hadhihi ar-rahmah. Yani the greater is a person's obedience to Allah, and the more their nearness to Allah is increased and their seeking to get near to Allah is increased, the greater will be their portion of being entitled to, deserving of this rahmah. Yani the more a person is obedient to Allah, the more a person gets nearer to Allah, the more a person strives to do the things that bring you near to Allah, the greater will be your portion of being deserving of the rahmah of Allah. What's the proof of this? The Shaykh mentions a number of ayats. The first ayat is Surah Al-An'am 6:155. Look at the istidlal. Look how he used this ayat to prove this point. وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَاتَّقُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Yani this is a book, the Quran, which we have sent down, blessed. So follow it and observe taqwa of Allah so that you may attain mercy. How do you attain mercy? By following this book, by observing taqwa of Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Then this will be the means for you to earn the mercy of Allah. Second ayah, Surah An-Nur, 24th surah, 56th ayah, the saying of Allah, وَعَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةِ وَآتِيُوا الرَّسُولِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Yani, establish the prayer, and give the charity, and obey the messenger, so that you may receive the mercy of Allah. Yani, the way to receive the mercy of Allah is to establish the prayers, to give zakat, to be obedient to the messenger of Allah. This will entitle you, make you deserving of receiving the rahmah of Allah. The saying of Allah, Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 56th Ayah, إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That indeed, certainly, definitely, the rahmah of Allah is near to the people who do good, the muhsineen, the people of ihsan. The people who worship Allah, yani as though they're seeing Him. If they don't see Him, know that He sees you. Yani, definitely the mercy of Allah will be near to the people who do good. This means that a person becomes more deserving of the rahmah of Allah if they are obedient to Allah, if they are observing taqwa, if they are performing the prayers, if they are obedient to the Messenger of Allah, if they are doing good deeds. And the ayats with this meaning are many in the Quran. The last point we want to make related to the name Ar-Rahman and the rahmah of Allah is the two types of rahmah. And we're going back to our two types again, right? Two types of rahmah. We talked about two types of ibadah and two types of abd and two types of ubudiyah. There are also two types of rahmah. And this is what we're going to close with. يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَعْلَمْ هُنَا أَنَّ الرَّحْمَةَ الْمُضَافَ إِلَى اللَّهِ نَوْعَانَ. It is incumbent, befitting of us to know that the rahmah which has been connected to Allah, the rahmah of Allah, is of two types. رَحْمَةٌ عَامَةٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ خَاسَةٌ. The general rahmah and the special rahmah. The general rahmah and the special rahmah. The rahmah of Allah is of two types. رَحْمَةٌ عَامَةٌ, the general rahmah, and رَحْمَةٌ خَاسَةٌ, the special rahmah. رَحْمَةٌ عَامَةٌ هِيَ الَّتِي قَرَنَهَا بِالْعِلْمِ. It is the one that Allah has joined, connected, associated with knowledge. The rahmah that Allah has associated with knowledge in His saying, رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. O our Rabb, indeed, yani You have encompassed everything, yani in terms of Your rahmah and Your knowledge. Meaning You have knowledge of everything, and also Your rahmah reaches everything. Allah has connected the rahmah to ilm. The Shaykh, look how he explains this ayat. Our Rabb, indeed You have encompassed everything. Rahmatan wa ilman, meaning Your rahmah has encompassed everything and Your ilm has encompassed everything. So everything, kulla shay'in wasalahu ilmuhu وهو واصل لكل شيء فإن رحمته وصلت إليه. يعني everything that Allah's knowledge has reached, and His knowledge reaches everything, there's nothing that He doesn't have knowledge of, everything that His knowledge reached, then His rahmah also reaches it. Because in this ayat, يعني it says what? That indeed, our Rabb, your rahmah and your ilm has encompassed everything. So everything that His knowledge reached, His rahmah also reached. لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى has joined between the rahmah and the knowledge in this ayat. But this rahmah that reaches everything, هي الرحمة التي تشمل جميع المخلوقات حتى الكفار. This is the rahmah that encompasses, that includes all everything in the creation, even the kafir. Even the kafir receives some of the mercy of Allah. That's the rahmah amma. That's the rahmah amma. وهي رحمة جسدية يعني bodily, بدنية, physical, دنيوية, worldly. This is a worldly, physical, يعني رحمة that comes to us by way of what? بالطعام والشراب واللباس والمسكن ونحو ذلك. يعني it is the رحمة of Allah in giving the people food and drink and clothing and housing and everything that's similar to that, of the worldly things. That's a rahmah of Allah, that people are eating, that people are drinking, that people have a place to sleep, that people have clothing to wear. This is the rahmah amma. This rahmah includes, encompasses everything in the creation, even the kafir. Rahmah? General. It's general rahmah, includes everything in the creation. The second type of rahmah is rahmah khasa, the special rahmah. وَهِيَ الَّتِي خَصَّ بِهَا عِبَادَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this is the rahmah that Allah has made exclusively for His believing worshippers. Exclusively for His worshippers who are believers. وَهِيَ رَحْمَةٌ. What type of rahmah is this one? رَحْمَة إِمَانِيَّة دِينِيَّة دُنْيَوِيَّة أُخْرَوِيَّة. يعني it is a rahmah that is based on iman and deen. It is worldly and it is also for the next life. Rahmah in this world and rahmah in the next life. And how does it come to us? بِالتَّوْفِيقِ لِلطَّاعَةِ. By a person being given success in being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالتَّيْسِيرِ لِلْخَيْرِ. And Allah making it easy for you to do good. While other people find it difficult to get to the masjid for prayer. Other people find it difficult to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Other people find it difficult to get up in the night and stand in prayer and the night prayer. Allah makes it easy for some people. That's the rahmah khasa. That's only for the believers. And it comes to us by way of what? By Allah giving us success, having the ability to be obedient to Him. And making easy for a person to do good. What tathbeet ala al-iman. Wal hidayah ala al-sirat. Wal ikram bidukul al-jannah. Wal najat min al-nar. And also, this rahmah, it comes to us by way of what? Allah making us firm on our iman, not wavering, and making us firm in guiding us to the straight path, guiding us to the straight path, and keeping us upon it until we reach the end and reach our destination in a way that's pleasing to Allah. And also, it is by what? By ikram. By it is a rahmah due to which Allah honors the believing servants, the believing worshippers, by allowing them to enter the paradise and saving them from the fire. Yani rahmah, amma, the rahmah that reaches all of the creation, food and drink and clothing and housing, animals and otherwise. And the rahmah khasa, that's specifically for His ibad, His worshippers who believe in Him. And that rahmah is rahmah imaniyya, diniyya, dunyawiyya, ukhrawiyya, in this world and in the next life. It is Allah giving us the tawfiq to be obedient to Him, making easy for us to reach the khair and making us firm upon iman and guidance upon the straight path and honoring us by entering the Jannah and by being saved from the hellfire. Wallahu mas'ul an yudkhilana bi rahmatihi fi ibadihi as-salihin wa yamunna alayna bi rahmatihi allati katabaha li awliyaihi al-mu'minina innahu subhanahu jawad kareem. وهو أرحم الراحمين. And the Shaykh closes, يعني this name, Rahman Rahim, he said, Allah is the one that we ask to enter us due to His mercy amongst his righteous worshippers. And he is the one to be asked to grant us, to shower us with his favor, yani his rahmah, that he has written specifically for his awliya, the people of iman and taqwa, and the believers. Indeed, he subhanahu wa ta'ala is jawad kareem, yani free giving, generous, yani, and he is arhamur rahmeen, the most merciful of those who show mercy. And this is where we're going to stop here tonight. We had intended to read at least the introduction from the book, but inshallah we'll start with that next week, and the first characteristic inshallah in the next session bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I know we're a little bit over time. If there's a question concerning anything that's not clear tonight, the introduction for me is always technical because we want to lay the foundation, but it's important that we have a foundation, that we understand what do we mean by ibad? What is the meaning of abd? What do we mean by ubudiyah? What is the state of ubudiyah and its different types? And what is ibadah itself? Is there a general ibadah and a specific ibadah? These are things that we need to know. We need to know what is ar-Rahman? What is the importance of this name ar-Rahman? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begin these ayat in which he describes those people who have dedicated their lives to worship him? Why does he describe them as being ibad ar-Rahman? Why didn't he describe them? Ibad Allah, ibad al-Kareem, ibad al-Aleem. Why ibad al-Rahman? It is because of the greatness and the magnificence and the importance of this name. It is the name containing the characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through which every good comes to us.
Now, what is this word spelled? L-A-Z-I-M-A-H.
Lazima.
Lazima.
Lazima means, it's from the, that ar-Rahma is from the sifat of Allah that are thabita, confirmed for him. Lazima, inseparable from him. This is a description, they've never separated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's always described with it. Naam.
And the other word that's A-R-I-D-H-A-H?
Irada?
Yeah.
Irada. Yeah, irada means the will, right? Irada means the will. So, in the sharia, in the aqidah of Islam, we know that Allah has two types of will. Irada kawniyah, which is in reference to the kawn, the universe, universal will, and irada shar'iyah, which is in reference to the sharia, the law of Allah. So Allah, he sometimes wills something in his universal will. It may be something that Allah doesn't like, he doesn't love, and he's not pleased with, but it has to happen. So he has made in his universal will that some people are going to disbelieve, that some people are going to commit shirk. That's not something that Allah loves. But nothing happens in this universe except by the will of Allah. But the will of Allah doesn't always mean it's something that Allah loves, because there's two types of will. There's a will of Allah that includes what Allah loves and what He doesn't love. And there's a will of Allah that only includes what He loves. That is, the things that He has legislated, that He's pleased with. That's His irada shara'iyya, His legislative will. So irada means will, but we must know that there's two types of will. There's a will where Allah commands that something must happen, He has decreed it to be. And it's not something that He's pleased with, and He doesn't love it. And He doesn't love that the believers are murdered. But He decreed that that will happen in His universal will. But for a reason, for a purpose. He doesn't, Allah is not pleased with people committing shirk. It's the worst thing that a human being can do. But He has decreed it. In His universal will, He has willed that this is going to happen. So when Allah wills something, it doesn't mean that everything He wills, He loves or He's pleased with. Because it may come under His universal will. That means something that Allah may love or He may not love. But it must happen. As far as His legislative will, al-irada shara'iyya, it means it only includes what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with. But that will is not a will that Allah forces on the people. He legislates it, He encourages the people, and then He lets them do it or not do it if they like. So some people pray and some people don't. Some people fast and some people don't. Some people do give charity and some people don't. That's under what? Allah's legislative will. This is what He wills to be, but He doesn't force us to do it. He loves it, He's pleased with it, But it may or may not happen. The other will, it has to happen. But it also includes things that Allah doesn't love. That's irada qawniya. So irada means will, but there are two types of will. This is a topic in itself. Inshallah, I'll try to find some notes, send it to the class so that whoever may have questions about it, yani because it is something that is a little bit technical, but it's very important that we understand this. A lot of people became confused because they said, how can Allah will that a baby be killed? Well, Allah doesn't love it. But Allah, nothing happens except by the will of Allah. Nothing happens in this universe except that Allah allows it, because He controls everything. Nobody can do anything unless Allah allows them to do it. He allows some people to do evil, and then He calls them to account for it. But He tells us He doesn't want us to do that. He warns us against it. He threatens us with punishment. But He may allow it for a hikmah, a wisdom that Allah only knows. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك